We begin today a new section in Rambam, Hilchis Talmud Torah, the laws of learning Torah. After the Rambam concluded his first section of his Mishnah Torah and Sefer Hamada, the book of knowledge, Hilchis Yesodei HaTorah, the fundamentals of Torah and Halacha, and then went on to Hilchis Deis, the laws of ethics, values, character, personality, development, and refinement, the Rambam now goes to the third section of Mishnah Torah, Hilchis Talmud Torah, which, just like Hilchis Deis, also includes and consists of seven chapters. Let's begin. As always, the Rambam will begin enumerating the mitzvahs in the Torah that these halachas are coming to expound upon and explain in detail. Zok the Rambam, Hilchis Talmud Torah, the laws of learning Torah, yesh b'chlolon shtei mitzvahs aseh. These halachas will include two positive commandments. Rishona, the first mitzvah is lilmoy Torah, there's a mitzvah to learn Torah. The second one is shniya lechabed melamdeha v'yodeha, to respect and honor those who teach her and those who know her and master her. Ubiyur shtei mitzvahs elu b'prokamelo, the explanation of these two mitzvahs will be in the subsequent seven chapters. Perek Rishon, the first chapter, zok de Rambam, Aleph. Noshim v'avodim uktanim p'turim mitalmud Torah. Women and slaves, when Jewish people would purchase servants, non-Jewish servants, who would assume a semi-Jewish status, which we're going to discuss much later in Rambam, the details, and ktanim, children, minors, p'turim mitalmud Torah, they are exempt from the obligation of learning Torah, an obligation that spans throughout the human beings, the Jews' entire life, day and night, as we will see, they are exempt. Aval katan, however, a child, aviv chayiv lelamdi Torah, there is an obligation on the father. His father is obligated to teach him Torah. Shenemar, what's the source for this? We all know this pasuk. It comes from the second section of Shema. V'hoyim Shemaya in Parshas Ekev, v'limadetem oisam es b'neichem ledaber bom. You should teach them the words of Torah to your sons to speak in them. And here it says, v'limadetem oisam es b'neichem, b'neichem, your sons. It doesn't say your daughters. In other words, the obligation on the father is to teach his son Torah. And the mother, the woman, is not obligated to teach Torah, the text of Torah, to her son, because the one who is obligated to learn is obligated to teach. It says, you should learn the Torah with your sons, not with your daughters. You don't learn with your daughters because she's also not obligated to learn. And therefore, she's also not obligated to teach her children Torah. She's not obligated to learn, so she's not obligated to teach. Beis. Just as the Torah gives one an obligation to teach his son Torah, he's also obligated to teach his grandson Torah. Shenemar, the pasuk says, in Parshas Ve'eschanan, V'hoidaitam levanecha v'livnei vanecha. You should let them know, you should share them, what them? The words of Torah that were given on Har Sinai to your children, to your sons, livnei vanecha, and to the sons of your sons. So the mitzvah is to teach also your grandchildren. V'loi b'noyu ben b'noy b'lvad. But it's not only a family affair. This mitzvah is not only relating to your son or your grandson. Ella, listen to these words, mitzvah al kol chacham v'chacham Yisrael l'lamed es kol ha-talmidim afal b'shein ha-banov. There's a mitzvah on every Jewish Torah scholar, every Jewish sage, every chacham. He has a mitzvah to teach all students Torah, even though biologically they're not his children. Shenemar, what's the source for this? The pasuk says, we also know this pasuk, it's in the first section of Kriya Shema, Parshas Ve'eschanan, Vishinantam Livanecha. You should teach them, what are them? The words of Torah, the Dvarim Ma'el of Torah, Livanecha, to your children. Mipi Hashmu'olam, you might think, here again, it means only biological children. Mipi Hashmu'olam, what does Mipi Hashmu'olam mean? Mipi Hashmu'olam means, we have an oral tradition that was transmitted all the way back from Moshe Rabbeinu, through the chain of generations, master to student, this is the Torah Shebaal Peh. And whenever we say Mipi Hashmua and Rambam, it means what? That it's also intimated. It's the way to explain. You could see it in the pasuk, but it's intimated. It's alluded to or it's hinted to. What did we learn? Banecha elu talmidecha. Levanecha doesn't mean only your biological children, it means your students. Sha'at talmidim kruyim banim, because students are defined in Tanakh as children. Shenemar, we have a pasuk also in Melachim Beis, chapter 2, about the students of the prophets. Vayetzu b'nei ha-Nevi'im. The sons, the children of the Nevi'im went out. This is the day that Eliyahu HaNavi would ascend in the flames to heaven, and Elisha would be his student and successor. So the b'nei ha-Nevi'im, the children of the Nevi'im, are referring to the students of the Nevi'im. As Rebbe Elchanan Wasserman, Hashem Yinkum Damai, the author of Kovetz Shiurim, the Rosh Hashiva of Baranovich, once said or wrote, "Vishinantam levanecha elu atalmidim." It teaches you that you will only be successful with a student if you see your student as a child. Im kein, if so, laman itztav al bnei val ben bnei. If the mitzvah is on every chacham to teach every potential Jewish student, so why was the person commanded to teach his son and his grandson? The mitzvah is not even not only your child, but with the malitam oisam as bneichem. You said Vishnantam Levanecha is all people. The Rambam says there's two answers. Answer number one is Lahakdim Bnoi Leben Bnoi. Answer number one is there are priorities, there is preference. In other words, your child comes before your grandchild. Uben Bnoi Leben Chavere. And your grandchild comes before a child of your colleague, another child. So yes, there's a mitzvah on every chacham to teach every single possible student, but a person has to prioritize and say, I can teach my child comes first, then my grandchild, and then somebody else's child. Another answer, the Rambam says, Halacha Gimel, V'chayiv Lisker Malamed Libnoyu Lelamda. A father is obligated to rent a teacher so that he should teach his child. In other words, if the father can't teach himself, yeah, or even if he can teach himself, but the teacher would be beneficial, would be superior, then he has to actually pay money to rent a teacher, to pay tuition. When it comes to the child of his colleague, meaning another child there's no Torah obligation that he has to pay tuition for a teacher to teach him. He is obligated to teach him for free, but he doesn't have to spend money for it. So these are the two differences between the mitzvah relating to your own family and the mitzvah relating to all Jewish children and all Jewish students. First of all, there's an order of priority. You have to prioritize in case you can't do everything. And number two, here you have to spend money and here you don't. Mishalo limdoyaviv. What happens, somebody who his father never taught him? His father did not fulfill this mitzvah for whatever reason. Chayav l'lama des atzmai kesheyaker. When he recognizes, interesting words, what does he recognize? He recognizes the value of learning Torah. And then he is obligated to learn himself. He's obligated to find a way to discover the ability to be able to learn Torah, to discover Torah. Interesting words, kesheyaker. There is an old print of the Rambam where it says kesheyagdil, which would make a lot of sense when he becomes mature, when he becomes an adult, when he becomes bar mitzvah, and he's obligated in mitzvahs. But according to most manuscripts, it's kesheyaker, when he recognizes. And the Tzemach Tzedek writes in Piskei Dinim, the Tzemach Tzedek, the grandson of the Baal HaTanya, passed away, Tofresh Chavov, 1866, he has Piskei Dinim on the Tzemach Tzedek, and he brings a possibility that what the Rambam actually means is actually an unprecedented idea here. That a katan, the moment he recognizes the value of Torah, he's obligated to start learning himself, regardless of his father. And then it would mean that there would be a chiyuv on a child, which is absolutely unique. Shenemar, what's the source for this? Ulemadetem oisam ushmartem las oisam. In Parshas Veschanim, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, you should learn them, you should learn the words of Torah, and you should observe them and guard them in order to perform them. So here you have a mitzvah saseh of learning Torah. My father didn't teach me. There was no vishinantam levanecha or vilimadetem oisam as bneichem. That's true. But I have a mitzvah, ulemadetem oisam ushmartem las oisam. Learn them and keep them. And the Rambam adds, and similarly, you find every place throughout the Torah and the Tanakh, Talmud koydem lemaisa, that learning precedes action. Because study brings to action. Action doesn't bring to learning. In other words, when I learn, famous expression of Gemara Maseches Kedushin, Gadol Talmud Shem Evi L'Dei Maisa. Talmud, when I learn, I have the knowledge and the know-how and the appreciation, and it brings me to perform the actions based on the learning. But the actions don't necessarily bring to study. I have to study. Maisa doesn't bring to Talmud. What is the Rambam saying here? The Pasuk says, U'lamadetem oisem u'shmartem las oisem. You'll learn them so you'll be able to keep them. Because Talmud is mevi l'idei Maisa. But Maisa is not mevi l'idei Talmud. And it seems that the reason the Rambam adds this, because maybe you could say that the mitzvah of learning Torah is only on the person who his father taught him. If his father didn't teach him, maybe I'm exempt from it. But the Rambam is saying, no, you're still obligated to learn Torah. So the Rambam proves that the mitzvah, ulamadetem oisam, is not only for somebody who learned with his father or with a teacher who his father hired. So now he's obligated to continue learning by himself. The Rambam says that's not pshat. He has to learn himself regardless of his father. What's his proof? His proof is, because it says, ulamadetem oisam ushmartem las oisam. Learn them so you should be able to do them. Can a person do mitzvahs without learning? How can I do? And I'm obligated to do mitzvahs, even if my father didn't teach me Torah. So the Rambam is proving that what? That we see from here and everywhere else in Torah, that Talmud koydem l'maisa. There cannot be maisa without Talmud. If there can be maisa without Talmud, and I'm obligated to mitzvahs, nobody says I'm not obligated to mitzvahs because my father didn't fulfill his obligation. So therefore, obviously, ulamadet ha-maisa means that I'm obligated to learn myself Torah, so I should be able to fulfill the mitzvahs. Why does the Rambam add the last words of Ein HaMaisa Mevi L'Dei Talmud? Why is that relevant? It could be that the Rambam is adding another aspect here. And that is that we see in the whole Torah that Talmud has something so grand and so great about it that it's greater than all of the mitzvahs. And that's where the Rambam says, Atamaitzi B'chol Maka. You see everywhere that Talmud comes before Maisa. Because once you have Talmud and you have Maisa. But Maisa doesn't come before Talmud because Maisa doesn't bring to Talmud. Talmud brings to Maisa. So the Rambam is saying, you see a Yisoid in the Kol HaTorah Kula, that Talmud is Koidem LaMaisa. So this means that Talmud is so much grander and so much greater than Maisa. So if a Jew is obligated in Maisa, certainly this Jew is obligated also in Talmud. And therefore, even if his father didn't teach him, he's obligated to learn himself. Continues the Rambam, Halacha Dalid, Hayo Hulul Meteide V'Yeshle Ben. What happens if the father himself had to learn Torah, but he also has a son, Lil Matayda, to learn Torah? So here is the issue. It's either a question of money, if he's going to go and work in order to be able to provide money that his child should be able to learn by a teacher, he won't be able to learn. Yeah. Or even if he wants to teach himself, perhaps the question is, should he learn himself or should he teach his child? So the Rambam says, Hu kaidem lebnoi. The learning of the father precedes the learning of the child. Even though he has a mitzvah to teach his child, but first and foremost, he has a mitzvah on himself to learn Torah. However, if his child is uniquely perceptive and innovative, and he will be able to study and master the material and learn better than the father, then the child comes first. And therefore, let the father go work and support the son to learn. But even though his son comes first, it doesn't mean he shouldn't learn at all. Just like there's a mitzvah on him to teach his son, he's also commanded to teach himself Torah. So even though he doesn't have time to learn himself because he has to support his son because his son is going to be more successful, that's true. But it doesn't mean he shouldn't learn Torah at all. There's a mitzvah also on him to learn Torah himself, not only to teach his child. So therefore the Rambam says he always has to make sure that he creates times for himself to learn Torah, even though he cannot spend his entire day and every time he has learning Torah, which is an ideal situation, but he cannot do that because he has to support his son learning. So therefore, the Rambam says, but he should make sure to still make time to learn. Hey, la'olam yilmad adam Torah v'achach yisa isha. A person should always learn Torah and only then get married. She'im nasa isha tchila in daiti pnuy l'olmad. Because if a person first gets married, his mind will not be open to be able to learn as well, because now he has the burden of supporting a spouse and supporting a family, supporting children, and therefore he won't be able to dedicate his mind in the same way to learn like before marriage when he's just responsible for himself. But what happens if this person, his natural inclination and desire for a relationship with a woman is very powerful, so his heart cannot really be truly dedicated to learning of Torah because he's constantly being overtaken by various thoughts and sensations and desires, then then first get married and you learn afterwards. Okay? It may not be with the same dedication because you have to be dedicated to your wife, spend time with your wife, you have to support her, and then children are going to come in, but that's the priority. Then you should get married. In the beginning, he says, you should learn Torah first because you want the das pnuya. You want the head that's open. It's much easier when you're not working, when you're totally connected and learning all day. It's much, you'll achieve much more. We're talking about a serious person here. In the second part of the halacha, he says, but if Yitzrim is gabal of achein liboy panoy, his heart is not open. Because here the Rambam is talking about somebody who's being overwhelmed by so many thoughts and sensations that it's time for him to get married. So this is a quality of the heart which represents strong emotional inclinations and proclivities. Vav. At one point, does the father begin teaching his son Torah? The moment his child starts talking. The moment the boy starts, the moment the child starts talking, the father teaches him the pasuk at the end of the Torah. Parshas Vezoyis Habracha, Dvarim Lamed Gimel, Torah Tziva Lano Moshe, Mirasha Kilas Yaakov. The Torah was commanded to us by Moshe. It's an inheritance for the whole community of Yaakov. This is the first thing we teach a child the moment he could start communicating verbally. And it's fascinating. We take a pasuk all the way at the end of the Torah. This is the last parasha of Torah. But take a look at the nature of the pasuk. What's the pasuk? Torah was given to us by Moshe. Mirasha, it's a Yerusha. It's an inheritance for the whole community of Yaakov. What's the definition of a Yerusha? An inheritance is something that applies to a minor and an adult in an identical fashion, and even an infant who's only one day old. Let's say somebody's an infant had a father, and the father passed away, and he left $10 billion. The infant is still one day old, or 1 week old, or 1 month old. Legally, he becomes the full heir, and now he owns the $10 billion. Yes, he's one day old. He's not aware and cognizant of it. He certainly can't deal with the money. We do have to appoint an apotropos, somebody, an agent representing the interests of the infant to guard the money until he or she becomes an adult and they can handle the money. But that's all in terms of administering it. But who is the owner? Who is the legal owner? The infant who's one day old. Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Mayrasha kehilas Yaakov. It's a Yerusha to every single Jew, even if he just started to speak. That's the first pasuk we teach him. The father also teaches him the first pasuk of Shema, which is Ve'eschanan, which is earlier in the Torah. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And then, he's starting to talk. He teaches him a little bit more psukim from the Torah. Atchiyah ben Shesha ben Sheva, until he becomes 6 years old. Or 7 years old, hakol fiburye, based on his strength and his health situation, and then mylichay eitzel malamed atinaykus, and then the father brings him to the teacher of children to continue learning Torah by the teacher. Zay, hoyem inegam adina likich malamed atinaykus. I should say, the Rambam says ben sheisha ben sheva. How do you interpret that? I would interpret it 6 years. In other words, 6 full years. Beginning the 7th year, or if he needs more time, 7 full years beginning the 8th year. This is actually how the Shulchan Aruch Harav interprets the Rambam, because that's what it seems like. Ben Sheish means you finished 6 years, or you finished 7 years. But the Kesef Mishnah says that actually means Ben Sheish means 5 years old beginning the 6th year, and Ben Sheva means 6 years old beginning the seventh year, and that's also what he says in Beis Yosef on the Tur in Simen Reish Mem Hey. Less than this age, according to the Rambam, if he's less than Ben Shesh or Ben Sheva, which means if he's not fully 6 years old, you would not bring him to the teacher, according to the Rambam. I should just say that the way the custom is today, the Seder Hayom brings this, and this is discussed in many poskim, that that today they often bring the child to a preschool or to a teacher, even at a younger age, to learn the Isis, to learn the Aleph Beis, to learn the language, to learn some psukim, to learn brachas, davening, etc. If the custom in this place was that the teacher gets money, he gets a wage for teaching, so then the father has to give him a wage, has to give him money. Like the Rambam said earlier in Halacha Gimel, that part of the obligation of a father is that he has to pay tuition for a teacher. The father is obligated to pay tuition to the teacher until his son knows the whole Torah Shebiksav. That's 24 Svarim, Bereishis Shmais Vayikra Midbar Dvarim, and then all the Svarim of the prophets and the writings. As we will soon see, it's Torah Shebiksav, not Torah Shebalpa. Malkim Shenago Lelamed Torah Shebiksav Bishar, Mutu Lelamed Bishar. A place where the custom is that you teach Torah Shebiksav for money, you're allowed to teach for money. Torah Shebalpa Asa Lelamed Bishar. It's an amazing halacha. Torah Shebalpa, you're not allowed to teach for money. Nothing to do if it's tradition of the place or not. If it's a tradition of the place, it's a wrong tradition. It's a wrong custom. Torah Shebiksav, the different places. Some they took money, some they didn't. Torah Shebalpa, you're not allowed to. Why? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Parshas Veschanan, Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to the Jews the last weeks of his life. Re'ei limadati eschem, chukim u'mishpatim kasher tzivani Hashem alakoy v'goymer. See, I have taught you the statutes and the laws, just like Hashem has taught me, just like Hashem has instructed me. So Chazal say, interesting expression is, see, I have taught you like Hashem has taught me. Ma'ani b'chinam l'madati, af atem b'chinam l'madata m'meni. Just like I learned for free, the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't charge me money for him to teach me. He taught me for free. And that's what I did with you. I did not charge you money to teach you. I have taught you for 40 years Torah for free. When you teach for generations, the mitzvah of teaching Torah Shebaal Peh is bechinam. It's to do it for free, just like you learned from me for free. God did not charge me. I did not charge you. You do not charge your students. And this is talking about Torah Shebaal Peh. Hashem has taught me chukum u'mishpatim lezvani Hashem alakai. So for Torah Shebaal Peh, you're not allowed to charge. Loi matza mishi ilamde bechinam. What happens if you can't find anybody who's going to teach you Torah Shebaal Peh for free? Or your child, then you lamed b'schar. Then hire somebody and pay them money to learn Torah Shebaal Peh. Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Mishlei Chav Gimel, emes knei, truth, sometimes you have to buy. If the only way to acquire truth is through paying for it, buy it. If you have to pay somebody to teach you, or your child Torah Shebaal Peh, buy it. Ooh, yachal lam lachedim b'schar. Now I think, okay, if you taught me for money, so now I'm going to teach somebody else for money. Talmud Loimar va'al timker. Don't sell truth. Buy truth. Don't sell it. If the only way you can get truth is by paying, pay. Now you want to sell it? Don't sell it. Give it. Don't sell it. Halamadat from here, we learn sh'asolo l'lamed b'schar af b'shalim d'rabi b'schar. It's forbidden for me to teach Torah for money, even though my Rebbe taught me the Torah for money. Now the question is, why would Torah Shebiksav be different? Why would we make this distinguish between Torah Shebiksav and distinction between Torah? So the Gemara in Nedarim says that you're allowed to take money for Torah Shebiksav because it's not for the learning. Rather, before there were printed Chumashim, the teacher would also teach all of the trup, all the cantillations of how to read it, how to sing it. That's what he's taking money for. And the second explanation is, usually Torah Shebiksav you learn when you're a child, and a child needs protection. So you're paying the teacher, I don't want to use the word babysitting service, it's not babysitting, but you're paying the teacher to nurture the child, to take care of the child, to protect the child. You're dealing with a 6-year-old, with a 7-year-old, with an 8-year-old, with a 9-year-old, a 10-year-old, etc. So therefore you're paying the child not for the Torah, you're paying the child for what? For taking care of the child's physical needs and protecting them and making sure they're fine and they're doing well and disciplining them when necessary, etc. However, Torah Shebaal Peh is already, you're paying just for Torah. For Torah, you don't take money. In other words, in principle, we see here the halacha. You do not teach Torah for money. That's the principle. It's an issur to teach. If I have no other choice, I'm going to pay for it because I have to buy truth. But I'm not allowed to sell truth. Now, you're all wondering, so what's going on in the world today? Why are the yeshivas charging tuition? So we all understand the answer for this. And the Shulchan Aruch discusses this in Simon Reish Mem Vav, that today the minig is that people teach Torah Shebaal Peh for a wage as well. And the reason is because if not, they're going to have to go get another job. They do have to support their family. So therefore, you're paying what's called Schar Batala. When I'm teaching your child Gemara, or I'm teaching your child Mishnayis, which is Torah Shebaal Peh, I cannot have another job at that time. This is the job I'm doing. And I also have to support my family. And it's taking me away from other work. So we're paying the Schar Batala compensation for the fact that you're not working in another job or another profession. That's the foundation of the reason that today money is charged and tuition is charged, sometimes high tuition, for Torah Shebaal Peh. But we see here fundamentally the principle. It's a fascinating principle. Hashem says, for Torah you don't charge money. It's fundamentally wrong. Because why? Because it belongs to the person. You may have the schus to teach it to them, to help them discover it, but it belongs to them. As the Gemara says in Eda, every child in the womb of his mother, of its mother, learns the whole Torah. Hashem taught Moshe for free, Moshe taught the Jews for free. This is not something that somebody owns, and therefore I want money for it. It just doesn't work that way. That's not Torah. It's the wrong approach to Torah. Even today, when we pay tuition, or we pay a tutor, I pay somebody to teach me, or whatever it is, it's only because I'm taking them away from another field of work. But it's not for teaching Torah. And this has a lot of ramifications in halacha and in hashkafa and in our approach to learning and especially to teaching, to pedagogy, to communication, to mentoring, etc. Ches, kol ish mi Yisrael chayav b'talmud Torah. Every Jewish man is obligated to learn Torah. Bein ani, whether he's poor. Bein asher, whether he's wealthy. Bein shalom begufi, whether he's healthy. Bein bal yisurin, whether he has illnesses and pain. Bein bocher, whether he's young. Bein shal yizak and gadol shatashash koicha, whether he's a very old man and his strength has already faded. Afilu ani amechazer al apsachim. Even a poor man, he's so poor, he goes from door to door to collect money. Vafilu bal isho banim. Now the last stage is, even somebody who's married and has children, which means his life is stressful and sometimes overwhelming. He has to make ends meet. That's his last description. He's obligated to establish time to learn Torah both during the day hours and during the night hours. Shenemar, Pasuk says in Yehoshua, Perek Aleph, you should toil in Torah by day and by night. From here we see that there's an obligation to establish permanent fixed times to learn Torah by day and by night. So somebody asked the question, why does the Rambam not say this by every mitzvah? He should say, you know who has to put on tefillin? A poor man and a rich man. You know who has to celebrate Shabbos? A poor man and a rich man and an old man and a young man. Why suddenly here does the Rambam say this? It seems to me because essentially the mitzvah of Torah is to use every possible moment that I have to be able to learn Torah. But if somebody is going from door to door collecting money, he needs food to eat. If somebody is older and weaker, so he doesn't have the same strength and the same ability for concentration. If somebody is a Baal Yisur, right? So the Rambam says everybody is mechoyev in Talmud Torah. Whatever the situation is, you have to be able to create time in the morning or at night, by day and by night, to learn Torah. And that's regardless. Yes, the person who's healthier, the person who's younger, can dedicate much more time for Torah and much more focus and focus in on the learning much more. But the Rambam here is saying, regardless, Torah is essentially a very interesting mitzvah. Because for one person, they fulfill the mitzvah of Torah by learning 18 hours a day. And the other person fulfills the mitzvah of learning Torah by learning a half an hour a day. It depends on your circumstances. Baal HaTanya has a whole famous maimer in Torah Eir, an incredible maimer on Purim, how that works. What's the meaning of that? We learned it once. But in any case, so it's something that's very, very relative. It's very different. Sukkah, but he has the mitzvah of Sukkah, but he has the mitzvah of Tefillin, but he has the mitzvah to fast in Yom Kippur, but he has the mitzvah to eat matzah and Pesach, to hear Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. The fact that I'm poor, that I'm rich, okay. Hopefully I'll become rich one day. But here it's actually a very relative issue. So the Rambam says, whatever the issue is, there's a mitzvah to learn Torah as much as you can and know the whole Torah. But regardless, I have to make time every single day, by day and by night, to learn Torah. So mitzvah that not everybody is aware of. You have mitzvah min ha-Torah to make time every day and every night to learn Torah. Halacha tests, a little history. But it's not just history by the Rambam, it's always halacha. G'doyli chachmi Yisrael. The great sages of Israel, some of them were woodchoppers, some of them were water carriers, and some of them were blind. Hillel HaZaken, the Rambam writes in Pirush HaMishnayis, Perek Dalet and Avos, Hillel HaZaken was a woodchopper. Obviously, Reb Nosson says it about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was a woodchopper. What about a water carrier? Reb Huna, the Gemara says in Ksuvas, Reb Huna was a water carrier. What about Suman, blind? The Gemara says many times that Reb Yosef was blind. Reb Sheshes was blind. For Afal Piket, they were woodchoppers, water carriers. Some of them could not see. Nonetheless, Hayu Oiskin Betoyda B'yema B'layla. They were immersed in learning Torah during the day and during the night. Vehei miklal matike hashmua, ish mipi yish ad Moshe Rabbeinu. Now the Rambam takes us back to his introduction. Matike hashmua means those who were transmitting the shmua, the body of the oral tradition, student from master, master from a previous master, from a previous master, in a long, uninterrupted chain till Moshe Rabbeinu. These individuals, Rabbi Akiva, Hillel HaZaken, Reb Huna, Reb Yosef, they are all listed in the 40 generations from Moshe Rabbeinu till Reb Ashi. Remember the introduction to the Rambam? That's why the Rambam says, these people, what can a woodchopper accomplish? What can a wood carrier accomplish? A blind person can't even see. The Rambam teaches us here halacha, how Jews looked at Torah, how they related to Torah, and the democratic nature of Torah. You have a person, he's drawing water. It's a hard job. It's a hard physical labor. This did not deprive them from the ability to be able to indulge in Torah, to be able to master Torah, and to be able to become those individuals who are responsible for the whole transmission of Torah, ish mipi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu. So this empowers every single individual. Torah doesn't belong to only a few individuals who have the luxury to be able to sit and learn all day, and they could, so somebody else supports them and so forth, which the Rambam himself was very against. Which is another point of his that the Rambam is probably making here. It's not just empowering every individual and saying that every single person has the potential and a person should never think Torah does not belong to me, which he's going to discuss more in chapter 3. But the Rambam is also making his famous point that he makes in his commentary to Mishnayos, Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet, and a little later about the Rambam believing that rabbis and teachers and sages should never, ever support themselves from their rabbinic duties as teachers and mentors, but they should all have a separate parnasa. This was the Rambam's famous opinion, which I discussed at length. We did a lecture this week, why the church burnt the books of the Rambam. You may want to listen to it on the yeshiva.net. Pretty interesting history about the Rambam. We spoke about this aspect as well. Halacha Yud. Ad emasai chayev adam lil matayra. Till when? Till when are you obligated to learn Torah? Ad yoy moysay, till the day of a person's death. Shenema, the Pasuk says, in V'eschanan, Ufen yasurim alvavcha kalim echayecha. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, Yishom alecha, Shmoy namshecha, Patishka, Advar, Mashawai, Nech, Ven yasurim alvavcha kalim echayecha. Make sure that the words of Torah do not depart from your heart all the days of your life. That means I have to retain and hold on to my Torah all my life, till my last breath. And the Rambam says, as long as a person is not involved and engaged in learning, automatically he forgets. And if I have a mitzvah that I'm not allowed to allow myself to lose any part of my Torah until the end of my life, that means I have to always be involved in learning Torah. Somebody asked the question, why doesn't the Rambam say this about every mitzvah? You have to put on tefillin till the day of your death. You have to eat kosher till the day of your death. You have to celebrate Shabbos till the day of your death. You have to daven till the day of your death. Why does it come? Why is it by learning Torah? It could be, I'm not sure, but it could be. Let's say you have that brilliant, brilliant genius who learned Torah their whole life. They learned Torah their whole life and they mastered it. They mastered it. Of course, it's infinite, so there's always layers that you didn't master. But the body of Torah, to a significant degree, they mastered it. So this person might think, okay, now I could retire and take vacation. So the Rambam says, no. If I'm not involved in learning, I forget it. In other words, you can't be passive with Torah. If I'm not actively climbing the ladder and learning and learning and learning, things just get lost. Yud Aleph. A person has to divide the time of his learning into three. Shlish b'Torah shebiksav, shlish b'Torah shebalpeh, u shlish Yavin v'yaskel achris dover mereshisei. A third dedicated to Torah Shebiksav. That's the Tanakh. What we would call the Pentateuch and the other books of the prophets and the writings. A third is Torah Shebaalpeh. Torah Shebaalpeh would be like Mishnayos, Braises, Tosefta. Basically, all of the oral halachas that were transmitted, they're not written in Chumash, but they were transmitted orally and then recorded in the major texts of Torah Shebaalpeh. Ushlish, and then another third, is dedicated for something else. Yavin v'yaskel achiris dover merishisai. You're going to understand and delve into to understand the end from the beginning. Meaning, you become a master and understand the system of halacha, the theory of halacha, how every halacha developed and where it was derived from. The last point, you go trace it back to the early point, the whole development of halacha. V'yotzi dover midover. You should also be able to derive one law from another law, one idea from another idea. V'yadamidover ledover. And you also could compare principles and ideas and halachas to each other. You should delve in to become a master on the formula and the methodology, the midos, the 13 midos that Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Jewish people, through which you can expound and elaborate and understand the methodology of Torah. Until a person masters all the principles of these formulas, and how you can extract from these principles everything that is permissible, everything that's forbidden, and all of the other halachas from the things you already learned in the second category, which is Torah Shebaalpeh, which was transmitted. This, in one word, is called Talmud or Gemara. Some manuscripts have the word Gemara. This is basically what Gemara is. When you learn Gemara, whether it's Bavli or Yerushalmi, and much of the literature that develops the Gemara is basically this. So basically you have three elements. You have Torah Shebiksav, that's the written Torah. You have Torah Shebaalpeh, which is the oral tradition of Torah in terms of Halacha. And then you have the Gemara, the Talmud, which is, if I could use this example, the back end of the lahavdol of the computer program. We have the front end, which is basically the bottom line. For ignoramuses like me, I get onto the computer, I'm a dummy, and I know, I press enter, and this is what happens. I put in this email address, and you get the email. But there is the back end. The back end is the mechanism, the engineering, how it was built, understanding the foundations, the fundamentals of it, the basics. This is called Gemara. The Rambam says, this is third of your time. Ketzat. What does this mean practically? Yud Beis. Hoye bal umnus. If somebody is a craftsman, he has a trade. So he was engaged in work 3 hours a day and engaged in learning Torah 9 hours a day. So you have 9 hours. 3 hours Torah Shebiksav. 3 hours Torah Shebaalpeh. And you have another 3 hours. You use your mind and you really allow yourself to become intellectually rigorous to understand one idea from another idea. In other words, the concept of Gemara, where you have a certain principle stated in Torah, and from there you can derive this halacha and this idea, this insight. What about Divrei Kabbalah? Divrei Kabbalah is Neviim and Ksuvim. That's all part of Torah Shebiksav. Uperushim b'chal Torah Shebaalpeh. What about the Medrashim? Where's Medrash? Medrash explains Psukim. Explains Psukim of Chumash. Explains Psukim of Neviim. It's not Halacha. It can have stories. It can have explanations. The Rambam says, that's part of Torah Shebaalpeh. V'inyonis hanikrois. Pardes b'chal Talmud. What if you're learning Hashkafa? What if you're learning Kabbalah? What if you're learning Musa? What if you're learning Chassidus? What if you're learning Maisa Merkava? The Rambam discussed Hilchos Yisoid De'Atayra, the first chapter is Maisa Merkava. The secrets of divinity. Understanding spirituality, spiritual disciplines. Or Maisa Bereshis, understanding creation from a Torah perspective. This is Bechal Talmud. This is the third category. This is Talmud. This is the back end of Judaism. The theology of Judaism, the depth. You have the theology of Halacha. You have the theology of Hashkafa. You have the back end of Judaism in terms of legalities. You have the back end of Judaism in terms of understanding what is Judaism, what is Yiddishkeit. That would be Pardes. That's all Talmud. So you have here the fascinating obligation of how we divide our study of Torah. Torah Shebiksav, Torah Shebaalpeh, and Gemara, which includes Pardes. Torah Shebiksav includes Nach. Torah Shebaalpeh includes all of the Medrashim that explain the Psukim. Bameh, the Balatanya writes, Shulchan Aruch Rav Hilchos Talmud Torah, that today you have the halachas of Shulchan Aruch. That would be part of Torah Shebaalpeh. Because you have halachas, it's clear, even though the Rambam was written before Shulchan Aruch. But what would Rambam be? Which part would be Rambam? Which one? Chevre, which one would Rambam be? Rambam would be Torah Shebal Peh. Of course, the Rambam says you learn Torah Shebal Ksav, and then you learn Ma'aseh, which is Torah Shebal Peh. Of course, some of the Shiurim, we try to bring in some of the third category, which is Talmud. Ba'medvarim amurim ba'tchilas Talmud Yishal Adam. This is an extraordinary halach. This is in the beginning, when you started to learn. Avak sheyagdol b'chachma, when you really grew in your wisdom, and you don't need to learn any more Torah Shebaksav, why? You know it backwards and forwards. And you don't have to always engage in Torah Shebapeh, because you mastered all of the Mishnayos and the Braises and the Teseft and Shulchan, you know all the halachas. You should still make times that you go through Torah Shebaksav and you go through all of the traditions of Torah Shebaksav, so you should not forget anything, not from Torah Shebaksav, not from Halacha. And then, the rest of the time, you should dedicate exclusively to Talmud, of course, all based on the expansiveness of your heart and the nature and the fabric of your mind and perceptiveness. Yud Gimel. I have to give a tiny, small introduction to Halacha Yud Gimel, which is the last Halacha, so that it should not be misunderstood. You do have to understand that the Rambam lived in the 12th century. Appreciate the fact that for thousands of years, women outside of Judaism were seen not only as second-class citizens, but some of the great Greek and Roman philosophers actually believed that women are completely under the ownership of their husbands, like a car, like a piece of real estate, like a computer. They also believe the same as children. In fact, some of the great Greek philosophers, who the Rambam admired as philosophers, but in this obviously differed, believe that actually, and you'll forgive me, I'm just quoting Aristotle and other Greek philosophers, that the feminine is actually a distortion of the ideal human being. It's a human being in lesser form. All of this is antithetical to the very principles of Judaism, which was a revolution that people still don't appreciate 3,500 years ago, that the human being, woman and man equally, were both carved in the image of God and have equal sanctity. You could take a look in Parshas Bereishis. Adam, Zachar, Nekeva, Bara, Oysam, Betzelem, Elohim. Both together are in the image of God. That's in terms of creation. In terms of revelation, the second fundamental aspect of Judaism, Har Sinai, Parshas Yisra, Torah was given to men and women equally. Not only that, when Hashem tells Moshe to give the Torah, he says, first, teach the fundamentals of Torah to the women, and then, so the two pillars of Judaism, creation and revelation, see men and women as different, but equal, meaning everyone has their distinct role, but equal, in the famous expression of the Gemara in Kiddushin, Hishva HaKosav Isha LeIsh L'chol Mitzvah Shabbatayra. The Torah was given to men and to women equally. The third component, which is the Shekhinah coming into the world, the Mishkan, women actually preceded the men, Vayavayu Anashim Al Anashim, they came before the men, they gave much more than the men. When it came to the love of Eretz Yisrael, here again, the women preceded the men. Why am I saying this? Because when people take things out of context, they completely miss the point. Now you have to understand, as a result of all of the above, women did not get any education. They were not trained in the analytics, they were not trained in methodology of learning, they were not trained in what we call today pilpul, questions and answers and refutations and modalities of thought and so forth. Torah Shebaal Peh, especially Gemara, has a special definition. The Pasuk says in Eicha b'machshakim hoishivani, God placed me in darkness. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Dav Chav Dalad, b'machshakim hoishivani ze Talmudo shel Bavel. This is the Babylonian Talmud. Why? That's called darkness? Yes, because everything is so complex. Nothing is straight and nothing is clear. Everything is questioned and then answered. And then the answer is refuted. And then there's another question, another answer, and a proof. And then the proof is refuted. And there's arguments and debates. It's back and forth. It's a whole style of learning. In that era, in that time, most women, Rambam uses the word most, were completely not in tune with that mode of thought. And therefore, such types of learning, when you're not accustomed to it, and when you don't need it, and when it doesn't do anything for you, it can actually have the opposite effect. It can be confusing, it can be overwhelming, it can be misunderstood in wrong ways. Yud Gimel. Isha Shalom de Torah Yesh L'Schar. A woman who learns Torah has reward. But since she's not mitzuva in Torah, in Talmud Torah, she's not commanded to learn, so it's not like the reward of the man who is commanded. Because the moment you're commanded to do something, you already have much more resistance. Stolen waters are always sweeter. The moment I'm not allowed to take the water, it's much sweeter, right? Of course, what you can do is always better. So therefore, the moment I have a mitzvah, I already don't want to do it. So the schar of somebody who's commanded is greater, and the man is commanded to learn Torah. And somebody who does something that he's not commanded to do, his reward is never like the reward of somebody who does it because he was commanded to do it. It's a lesser reward, but it's a reward. Even though a woman has reward for learning Torah, the sages instructed, a man should not teach his daughter Torah, because most women, and this is critical, why doesn't he say all women? Because he's not talking about the essential nature of women versus men. He's talking about most women in the culture or in the society that they're living in. This is not a halacha about women essentially. There are halachas that relate to men, halachas to women that never change. The Rambam here says the majority of women. Why the majority? Why not all women? Because the Rambam himself is telling you there could be women who are different. You have to look at the woman. When the whole society changes and everything changes, things might change. So this is very clear when you have intellectual honesty and integrity to learn the Rambam correctly. I'm responding to different questions I received, obviously. Because most women ain't died to mechuvanas l'islamay. They don't have the ability to concentrate on the learning. The Torah will be used in an idle way, based on the poor comprehension ability. The sages said, the sages said, when you teach your daughter Torah, it's like you're teaching her parables and stories. This is only true about Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaksav, you do not say this. Because Torah Shebaksav, by nature, is very different than Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh, by definition, lends itself to constant debates and analytics. Even just Mishnayos and Braises are full of debates and disputations. Never mind Gemara, which is called B'machshakim HaYeshivani. And it's full of complexities and intricacies. And you have to be sensitive to the Torah that belongs to a woman. And I'll tell you the truth, even till today, I give a lot of shiurim. I speak to men and I speak to women. It's very, very different. I'm not saying all women. Ramosa doesn't say all women, and this is even in the 1100s. But even today, there's a very different. Like with women, my wife always tells me, with women, get straight to the neshama. Go straight to the soul. Go straight to the core. Don't go through all of the journeys of pulpulim that you can do with men. And for men, it's actually very healthy. They need it for their minds. They need to refine their minds through that. So this is actually a very sensitive idea. Torah Shebaksav is not like that. Torah Shebaksav is much more straightforward. You can perceive the spirituality there. Although also Torah Shebaksav could, Torah Shebaksav needs a teacher, but it's not like Torah Shebaal Peh. So, well, Torah Shebaksav lo yelamed oisa lechatchil. He shouldn't teach her Torah Shebaksav initially. Vimlim deinikim lamda tiflus. But this is not called tiflus, like just teaching parables or idle stories. We do not say that about Torah Shebaksav. I should add what the Shulchan Aruch Harav says in Hilchas Talmud Torah, and it's brought in many poskim. When the Rambam says here not to teach your daughter Torah, or he said in the beginning that women are exempt from Torah, this excludes all of the mitzvahs that they have to do. Because you cannot do any mitzvahs if you don't learn how to do them, like the Rambam himself said. So if a woman has a lot of mitzvahs, and there are many mitzvahs that women are obligated in, so then the woman has to be taught and learn all of the Torah that relates to the mitzvahs. It's not an obligation to learn Torah in and of itself, but it's an obligation to learn Torah as a preparation, and a foundation to be able to observe all the mitzvahs. Now remember, that includes 365 negative mitzvahs. It includes all positive mitzvahs that are not bound in time. It's an enormous amount of mitzvahs. For example, all of the halachas of Shabbos, for example, all of the halachas of davening, which according to the Rambam, davening is a mitzvah essay that relates also to women, and many halachas every single day that relate to women and men equally. It also includes the six constant mitzvahs that are perpetual, the mitzvahs that the Rambam discussed earlier in Sadiya Torah, the mitzvah of knowing Hashem, the mitzvah of loving Hashem, the mitzvah of fear of Hashem, the mitzvah of achdus Hashem. So basically this includes the entire literature of Yiddishkeit that deals with hashkafa and pnimiyus HaTorah, and having an appreciation of the foundations of reality and creation. This relates to men and women equally.